Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Talking Data podcast. Today, I have a special guest with me on the phone here. I'm talking with Gotham. He's a principal in big data and data integration at Capgemini. How are you, Gotham?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for the call in.
Great. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about some of Gotham's predictions for 2016, the year ahead, some of what he sees coming down the road for the data analytics and big data industries. So, Gotham, I know one of the things that you're going to be watching for the year ahead is the idea of data monetization. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what exactly you mean by that and why you think it's going to be such a hot topic?
So most of our clients have amassed a wide variety of data about their customers. They have yet to this point been able to exploit this data either for the benefit of their customers or benefit of the franchisees. For example, we've seen financial services and in telco that are the most data-intensive industries. They've amassed huge amounts of data, but have yet to exploit its value. For example, the GPS coordinates of where a person is at a certain amount of time is very valuable to a host of companies, but telcos have yet been able to exploit it for the benefit of both their direct customers, but also the benefit of the industry as a whole. We see examples where telcos today and financial services today are able to get past the regulatory challenges, get past kind of the creepiness factor on behalf of the customers, exploit it for the benefit of themselves as well as the customers. In more and more, we see that financial services companies and telcos are able to make money from this rich trove of data that they have. And then not only do we see this trend in these two industries, we see this trend across all of the industries. We see, for example, in the hospitality industries where the hospitality teams are exploring this data on behalf of the franchisees and providing this as a service to the franchise owners that own the individual hotels. And we see it in every industry. So it's becoming a very important concept, another revenue stream for all companies across all the industries.
Mm-hmm. So how big a part of these businesses' operations do you foresee data monetization becoming? Because obviously it's not going to become the primary source of revenue for any of those businesses. So how central to its operations do you think that the trend is going to become?
It's a good question. So in the near future, we don't see this becoming central to the revenue stream. There are exceptions, of course. For example, the credit rating bureaus, they make all of the money through, or a large percentage of their money through monetization of the data that they have. However, we see that the relationship between a provider that owns this data and the customer that generates this data changing. And the changing of this relationship is more important than the tactical revenue stream in the near future. But as this relationship changes, customers are beginning to understand their importance, they're beginning to understand the data that they generate, and they're happy in many cases to participate in the monetization of data, which will give them a direct benefit. An example of the changing relationship will be, Progressive, and I was just reading about it on the Wall Street Journal today, where Progressive monitors, and we've known this for a while, sends out a little device that monitors the activities of the customer. State Farm's, having a GPS application that you can install on the phone that monitors your driving habits. And then both Progressive and State Farm exploit this data, monetize this data while obfuscating private customer confidential information, right? And customers are willingly handing over this data to, Progressive and State Farm and companies such as that. So more and more, we see that the nature of the relationship between the customer and the provider changing, and this is important to the industry more than the tactical revenue stream in the near future. The changing of this relationship is drastically increasing the direct revenue that the customer obtains from the source of data. For example, we see that, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal that spoke about the companies who don't use data monetization will see more and more that the quality of the customers degrade as the higher quality customers move over to the companies that are able to monetize this data and offer them better rates and offer them better benefits. Hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And so I know another trend that you're watching, you described as the analytics of things. This is sort of analyzing the data that's coming off of connected devices, streaming data, sensors, that kind of thing. But why don't you give us a little bit more detail on what exactly you mean by analytics of things and why you see it being such a big trend in 2016?
Good question. So a lot of articles I was reading about CES in the past week, it said that the Internet of Things dominated made at CES. So the Internet of Things is the fact of, you know, putting sensors out in the field to monitor everything from your electricity consumption on, you know, a 15-second or 15-minute basis to, you know, the sensors on your cars, right? So there are thousands of sensors on your car that monitor everything from the temperature to the pressure to your driving habits to braking to acceleration and so on and so forth. So the Internet of Things is the sensors that are deployed on the field. The Analytics of Things is actually taking the sensor information, converting that into insights, and actually delivering it to the point of action so that with the massive sensors out there, companies are able to make decisions and able to take action to optimize their customer experience and also optimize their revenue stream.
Mm-hmm. And so what sorts of technologies do you think businesses are going to need to put in place in order to capitalize on Analytics of Things?
That's a good question. So more and more for the Analytics of Things, we see the direction heading towards open source. The closed source technologies that we used for analytics in the past served the purpose, but the scale at which these solutions are being deployed require solutions that are able to scale better and that are more cost effective. So the Analytics of Things started off, if you would, in the web industry with the web properties in the high-tech companies out in Silicon Valley. And they're, you know, big adopters of open source technology. So for the companies that don't exist in Silicon Valley, they're slowly adopting to the open source philosophy. And specifically, the Apache Hadoop Foundation that put a bunch of open source technologies out there that interact very well with the ecosystem of closed source technologies that exist within this company are the primary driver of technology that's required to exploit the Analytics of Things.
Mm-hmm. Another area that I've been watching as the year has been getting underway here is cognitive computing. I've been seeing a lot of emails, a lot of articles written about cognitive computing, and so I was interested to get your take on it. From your perspective, why do you think we're seeing so much interest in cognitive computing at this moment?
So cognitive computing has become integral to a lot of the technologies we already use. We just don't recognize it as cognitive computing. IBM obviously has its marketing department has taken on cognitive computing and made a big splash, made us all aware of Watson and some of the other technologies that came by it. But cognitive computing is a trend for moving from deterministic deterministic models to non-deterministic models that try to simulate how a human would think. Something as fundamental as, for example, when you go on Amazon, you get a set of product choices out there where Amazon's trying to predict the kind of products you may want to buy. That talks of a statistical algorithm that's non-deterministic, that's trying to simulate how a human would think. And you would see more and more cognitive computing or non-deterministic thinking or artificial intelligence being embedded in all of our applications. From, for example, my GPS application tries to predict where I'll be and tries to give me, you know, the amount of time it'll take me to go home or the best time to go home and so on and so forth, to inside driverless cars or self-driving cars or the cognitive computing to balance between the safety of the driver versus safety of pedestrian, for example. If you're driving a car at 70 miles an hour and somebody just appears on the street in front of you, should it suddenly brake, putting you in danger, or should it, in a way, you know, try to run over the pedestrian and keep you safe? These cannot be solved by deterministic traditional methods. It requires artificial intelligence, which is like cognitive computing. Despite being branded by IBM, it's pervasive in the industry, and it'll continue to become more pervasive as time moves forward.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you see there being some real potential value here. It's not just another industry buzzword that's kind of getting legs here. It sounds like you see some real serious uses for cognitive computing in the near future.
Absolutely. Cognitive computing, artificial intelligence, when all put together, yes, it is already being deployed in the field, and you will see more and more interest in that field. The Wall Street Journal, you know, over the last couple months had a number of articles talking about artificial intelligence, but it's becoming fundamental part of the applications that are being deployed out in the field today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so you've given us a lot to think about and definitely a lot to look forward to in 2016. So thank you, Gotham, for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure. I'm very happy to be on this call with you.